just been singing a wonderful song about how God is present in this place, and really ties into what we're looking at this morning as we continue our story through our adventure through the story of the book of Exodus. And we're going to look this morning at Moses and his encounter with God at the burning bush. So if you want to follow along with me, I'm just going to read a few verses from chapter 3, verse 1, and then we'll look at some more as we're working our way through this passage. But just to set the context for you, if you remember the story of God created the world, and then he calls Abraham to leave his country and come to the promised land. And Abraham has a son named Isaac and he has a son named Jacob, and he has a son named Joseph. And Joseph ends up in Egypt, and then the whole family ends up, because of a drought in Egypt, they become slaves, and they're calling out to God. And as we saw in the first two chapters of Exodus, they're calling out to a God who seems very absent. And today, God breaks in amazing power. And it comes in chapter 3, verse 1 of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, also Mount Sinai. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. And Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Don't come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Father, this morning, as we read that and as we come and we worship you, we know that we come to holy ground. We know that you are present in this place. We know that you want to speak to us, that you want to call us by name, that you have a message for us this morning, and we want to hear you, Father God. But Father, we also come as people from a world that has had challenges this week and is in the midst of these. For those who are affected by the coronavirus, Lord, for the nation of China and other countries all around it, for the entire world who is affected in some way by that, Father, we just pray your hand would be at work, that you would be with the researchers who are searching for cures, for ways of stopping the spread. Father, for those who are affected by it, we pray for them. Father, we pray for those who are struggling in other ways through the wars and famines that encircle our world. Father, we pray for those who are missing loved ones, for those who are dealing with illness, for those who are struggling in some way. And this morning, Father, we come to this holy ground, and we bring these prayers to you because we know that you care. And Father, this morning we come just eager to hear from you, to hear your voice speak to us. And so, Father God, we pray, as we open the story of Moses and the burning bush, Father, may it say something to us this morning, we pray. May we hear your voice whisper in our ears. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've looked at the book of Exodus over the past 2 weeks. We've noticed that God is amazingly absent from the first two chapters. He's not mentioned anywhere except in a little story about some midwives who fear God but sort of do their own thing anyway. And that's the only place that God appears to appear. And it just seems like there's this absence of God in that story. And we talked about how that feels sometimes our experience, that God just feels absent. And this morning, maybe God doesn't feel absent, but maybe this morning, it's just that life feels, well, maybe God feels distant enough that life just feels monotonous, or maybe it feels overwhelming, or maybe it's even crazy busy with stuff, but it's not stuff we're passionate about. Last Sunday night, I don't know if I ate something or what, but anyway, I had this long night, and about 5 o'clock, I fell asleep, and I got up, and I came to work, and it was Monday morning. And I was not all that excited to be here, to be really honest. I came in and I was reading and I was praying, and then I got just interrupted by Monday morning. You know, there was stuff that needed to be done. There was stuff about finances that people needed answers to, and stuff about numbers, and stuff about emails, and writing reports, and doing all kinds of stuff. None of the stuff that I went to seminary to learn how to do. And I was reminded that in the story of the creation, you know, the second day, which is Monday, God says, it is good, is good, is good throughout that story, but he doesn't say that on Monday. On Tuesday, he says it twice. So an Orthodox Jew, you know, will get married on Tuesday because that's a lucky day. That's a day God blesses. But Monday, you know, even in the creation, wasn't that good a day. And that was just that kind of a day for me. And I was reading these two chapters, preparing for the sermon in my devotion time. And I got to that first verse, and I just got kind of stuck there, although I read through the chapters. But what stuck in my mind was that first verse where it talked about Moses tending sheep on the far side of the wilderness. And I just began to relate to what that was like. And then as I was praying, this verse came to me from Psalm 51, where David prays that prayer of confession. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. And then that verse from Psalm 23 came to mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And I began to see what I was longing for, and I began to feel what I was experiencing. And you know, just kind of in the midst of that, someone phoned up and they had taken like 2 minutes off of work and they just needed some information from me and stuff. And I just kind of asked them, you know, how are you doing? And they just said, oh, you know, living the life, which in the sarcastic tone she used said, overwhelmed. And I wonder this morning if that's ever the way we feel. That we just kind of struggle sometimes to just figure out where God is, because there's a real sense in which God is absent in some way. At least the joy of God is absent. And the story starts that we read that Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb. And we've been reading this story, and you know, the challenge with story, it's a challenge with watching a TV show maybe about whatever, you know, cops or firemen or whatever. Firefighters, whatever the correct term is, you know, or it's reading a story about something, but it seems like everybody's life is a little more exciting than ours, and it's mostly because the storyline has been compressed down. So at the very start of chapter 2 of Exodus, Moses was born, and then in chapter 2, verse 11, he kills this Egyptian, but that's 40 years later. Although it's only 11 verses later. And then today we pick up this story where he's on the backside of the desert and he's tending these sheep. But that's another 40 years later. So, you know, Moses, I think, is experiencing this, I don't know what he's experienced. I mean, he's a shepherd, he's a father, he's a dad, he's about his daily business, but he's out in the wilderness. And not just the wilderness, he's on the far side of the wilderness. I think he's about as far from sensing God's presence out there as he could be. And I just find the King James helpful here. I kind of grew up with that. And where it talks about the far side of the desert, the King James says he led the flock to the back side of the desert. And I don't know much English, but in my kind of understanding of stuff, when it's back and side, it's two different words. That means a place. When it's one word, that's more a body part. But, you know, it's just he's in this part of the desert where there's nothing happening, where God doesn't seem to be present, where it's one day after another. In other words, he is living the life. And I don't know how long he's been there. I'm not sure how to take the numbers in Exodus. I don't always take them as being factual. They are symbolic in many ways. And when the number 40 appears, the number 40 in the Bible is often used, I think, sort of symbolically. Isaac was 40 when he got married. His brother Esau was 40 when he got married. Moses was 40 when he killed the Egyptian. He's 40 more years to the burning bush here, 40 more years of leading the people of Israel. Joshua was 40 when he became a spy. Eli was a priest for 40 years in Samuel's day. David and Solomon each reigned for 40 years exactly. It just seems there's a lot of 40s in the Bible. It's sort of like when someone tells me their attendance at church, another pastor, you say, how many are there? If it ends in a zero, it's a rounded number. If it ends in two zeros, he's lying. You know, but the point is, Moses has spent a third of his life in Egypt. He spent a third of his life in the desert. And he's about to spend the last third of his life as the leader of the people. And in the midst of all this, God's presence comes through. And it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. And Moses thought, I'll go over and see the strange sight where the bush doesn't burn up. And when the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And God said, don't come any closer. Take your sandals off. Place your standing as holy ground. And he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So there's Moses. He's on the backside of the desert. He's herding cats, as it were, you know, with these sheep that wander off and do whatever they want to do. And all of a sudden, a bush catches fire. And the bush catching fire was the most exciting thing he's seen in 3 months. And he drifts over there to see what's going on, and he starts to notice that the bush isn't disappearing. It's not burning up. It just keeps burning. And so he walks over to have a look, and God speaks to him and calls him by name. Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. And God says back to him, yeah, and here I am. I'm here. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And I don't know if it's in every Korean church, but I know in some of the Korean churches that I've been to, when a pastor enters the pulpit to preach, he takes off his shoes because he's on holy ground. Ground where God is speaking, not holy because of where it is, but holy because of where God is. And God just shows up in power, and that's symbolized by fire so often in the Bible. In the New Testament, you remember Jesus will die and go back to heaven, and then the disciples will gather, and then the Holy Spirit will come on the day of Pentecost, and tons of fire will come down. Symbol of the power and presence of God. And it's this presence that frightens but draws Moses. It's what we would call the fear of God. And someone said, you know, the fear of God, you can't put those words together any more than you put butter and fly together to get butterfly. But the fear of God is this awe that comes but draws you into it. You don't run away from the fear of God. You walk towards it. And God's holy other presence is drawing Moses, and he gets so close, God says, take off your shoes. It's holy ground. And I have a message for you. And the message is that God has a concern for the people. And God said, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And God begins to talk to Moses, saying, I've got a reason for meeting with you. And the reason is that I've heard, and I care, and I know, and I've seen. And it's those same four verbs almost that we looked at last week in the sermon, and it's on the web if you didn't get a chance to listen to it. But God says, I've seen their misery. I've heard their cry. I'm concerned about their suffering. I've come down to rescue them. The verse we looked at last week was, I've heard their groaning. I've remembered my covenant. I saw the people, and God knows. And God says, I have heard your groaning, and I've remembered the covenant. And he changes the last verb in that foursome. He says, I've come down to rescue them. God is present. He's about to get to work. Moses' prayers have been answered. The people's prayers have been answered. 40 years have gone, but now God is here. And Moses is waiting for the next part. What's going to happen next? How is God going to be at work? And then God calls. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And then out of the blue, God speaking out of this bush says to him, and you're the one who's going to go. And you get the privilege of confronting the most powerful man on the planet. And you get to tell him that he really wants to get rid of all the slaves that do all the work in his country. And he wants to let them leave. You get to speak to this guy who's a little bit mentally unstable. This is the answer to your prayer. Well, when Moses regained consciousness, the bush was still burning, and God was waiting for a response. Now, if you remember the story of Samuel, this occurs a little bit later, but Samuel was a little child that was born, and he worked with Eli, who was a priest and a prophet, and God spoke to him in the middle of the night and called him by name. And Samuel thought it was Eli, so he went and said to Eli, "Yeah, what can I do for you?" And Eli figured out the second time, no, this is God speaking. And he taught Samuel how to respond when God speaks. He said, when you hear God call you, you are to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Now, if you want to pray a prayer before you do your devotions in the morning or in the evening or whenever it is you do, that's not a bad prayer to pray. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And in the Hebrew mindset, this idea of listening means obeying. When you hear the word of God, you obey. And so we know when Moses hears this call, the next, you know, words out of Moses' mouth are going to be like, "Hot diggity dog, let's go. We're finally." Except it's not. In fact, Moses will launch into a five-series set of excuses of why he's the wrong guy. I'm going to run through those real quickly, but here's the thing. Have you ever heard God speak to you? Just that little whisper. Hey, go speak to that person. Hey, maybe you should volunteer for that. Or maybe someone says, "Hey, are you interested in being part of this?" And you go, "No, I don't think that's me." You know, this morning, have you heard God speak? Have you heard God call? Maybe this morning you've been around church for a while and, you know, maybe you've come because someone brought you or you've come because you're seeking God, but you've never quite made that decision. I'm going to follow God wholeheartedly. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I'm going to accept that offer of forgiveness that He offers in Jesus Christ. I'm going to start this relationship with Him. Or maybe God's calling you on mission with Him to step out in faith. And I wonder when you hear that if you've ever given these perfectly valid reasons why God is wrong. And these are Moses' excuses. First one, he says, and maybe you've used this one too, "I'm too ordinary." Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" And Moses' first excuse is, "Hey, come on, God, I'm an old man. I'm happily married. I got kids in the suburbs of the desert." You know, half an hour before this, he was bored out of his mind. This bush was the most exciting thing he'd ever seen. He's in the backside of the desert, but all of a sudden, the sheep are looking good. All of a sudden, the desert's looking good. All of a sudden, just watching sheep sleep is enough to keep him going. Because anything is better than telling Pharaoh to let his slaves go. And God says, no, I'll be with you. You don't do this alone. You don't do it in your own power. You can do all things through God who gives you strength. Hard to argue with, so he goes on to the next one. "I don't know enough." So Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your father sent me,' and they say, 'Well, what's his name?' Well, what do I tell them?" And maybe you felt that, right? I mean, God's kind of said, you know, maybe there's a person in your life, maybe it's in your family, in your neighborhood, at work, whatever, and they've sort of shown a little bit of interest in your faith and in your Christianity, and you've kind of thought, "I should probably say something to them," but you don't know what to say. You know, you can't share your faith in public in Canada. That's just not Canadian. And you think, well, what if they ask a question? I don't know the answer. You know, then I'll look stupid. They'll not be any further ahead. And God replies to Moses, "Well, you know, I'm Yahweh. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm the guy that called Abraham, told him to come to the promised land. I'm the guy that watched over Isaac and Jacob. I'm the guy that brought Joseph down to Egypt, for crying out loud. I'm not some new God. I'm not some God they don't know. I'm the God they're crying out to." Moses moves on. "Yeah, but they won't listen to me." Moses answered, "Well, what if they don't believe me? Or listen to me? What if they say the Lord didn't appear to you?" You know, when the Israelites were calling out to God to come and rescue them from slavery, when Moses was probably praying that same prayer, what he was pretty sure of was that the answer to that prayer was not a washed-up Israelite who'd spent the last 40 years in the desert watching sheep wool grow. He was pretty sure that what they were expecting was an army to come led by some general who had power, who was going to force the Egyptians to give these people up. Moses was pretty sure the answer to his prayer was not him. Maybe if he looked more like Charlton Heston, but not him. And when God calls us to step out, isn't that our fear? What if they don't listen? What if they don't believe? And the amazing thing is God has already told Moses about 10 verses earlier, because now we're in chapter 4 already. He said, the elders of Israel will listen to you. In fact, when Moses goes and talks to them and says, the people believed. When they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, that he'd seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Because God accomplishes what he calls us to do. But if you're keeping score at home, Moses still has two excuses to go. Really, he says, you know, I'm a behind-the-scenes person. And the Lord said to Moses, pardon your servant, Lord, but I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since. I'm slow of speech and tongue. I don't speak good, Moses says. I stutter, I stammer, I talk in circles. I mean, I'm less coherent than a Baptist preacher. You know, what you're asking me to do, I can make a president or a prime minister sound eloquent. I am not the guy. I am the back door guy. You're calling me out of my comfort zone to something I'm not good at. And God responds, I will help your speech. You see, every excuse Moses has been given has had the same core to it. I can't. And then a reason. And every time God replies behind the lines, between the lines, of course you can't, alone. But I'm not asking you alone. You can't, but we can. Because you can do all things through God who gives you strength. And Moses just reaches the end of excuses, and he just finally says to God, pardon your servant. Just send someone else. I don't want to go. And it says God's anger burned against Moses at that point. He says, fine, take your brother Aaron. He can be the spokesperson. He's going to be a pain in your side most of the time, but hey, take him. If that's what you want. And Moses relents and accepts the assignment. And he goes home, goes back to Jethro, goes and tells the wife and kids he's going on a short business trip for a while. Then he goes and speaks to his father-in-law, Jethro, you know, just sort of asks him to look after the family for a while, shovel the driveway if it needs it. Moses went back to his Jethro and said to him, let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. And Jethro said, go, and I wish you well. Interesting how, I wouldn't call Moses dishonest, because that's not nice, but he's not transparent. He doesn't say, hey, I heard God in a burning bush, and he's called me to bring 1 million people out of slavery and bring them past here, so could you just like, have a few things ready for feeding them when we get here? He kind of just says, no, I just need to go back to my people, see how they're doing. I think maybe Jethro kind of reads between the lines a little bit. Says, go, I wish you well. Probably polite talk for good luck. Sort of got to like this guy, and I wonder what the next wife, husband of my wife, daughter will look like, you know, because I don't think he's coming back from this one. But Moses obeys. The adventure of a lifetime is about to begin, and we'll spend the next few weeks looking about that. It'll end with the people in their own land. And the question this morning is really quite simple. The question is, what is God calling us to do? And how do we respond? Is there obedience on our part? I wonder what the adventure God is calling you into. And sometimes we don't even know. It's just we take that first step, and the first step leads to the adventure. Maybe this morning, though, God is calling you to to make a commitment to Him. Maybe this morning God is saying, I call you by name. I know you. I know what you've done, and I love you. And I sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. This table with His broken body symbolized by the bread and His shed blood symbolized by the cup. God says, I love you and I forgive you if you will just accept my offer of forgiveness. If you will just confess and come to me. Maybe this morning God is calling us onto that adventure. But maybe this morning God is calling us onto an adventure of mission with Him. Of becoming a fully devoted follower of His. Of going out and telling others about God. Maybe discovering what our spiritual gifts are and using them. Maybe it's that little whisper to step out in a way that just scares the life out of us. And the story tells us, don't be afraid. You can do all things that God calls you to do through Christ who gives us strength. This Jesus who came to earth, who lived among us, died on the cross, rose again. This Jesus who in the garden before the crucifixion honestly said to God, you know, if there's another way to do this, I'm open to it. But it's not my way, it's your way. I come in obedience to you. When Moses saw the burning bush and God called him, he said, here I am. When he asked God's name, God says, I am who I am. He said, I am here. But you know what? Moses said he was there, but he wasn't there really, at least not in spirit. He wanted out of there as fast as he could. But there's another story about God meeting someone. It's this guy named Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, maybe 600 years later. And Isaiah gets this vision of God. It's not a burning bush, but it's a vision of God. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. And he sees God, and he's just overwhelmed by it. And at the end of that, God kind of breaks into his world. And says, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. Moses got the first 3/5 of that. Here I am. But what God was waiting to hear was send me. And this morning as we hear this story, I think, God is whispering in your ear and calling you by name. And He's whispering that He is here in His power. And I think He has a desire for us to step forward on this adventure that we're living called the Christian life. He's saying it's time to step out in faith, and we're saying, I have all these excuses of why I can't. And God is saying in response, I know you can't, but we can. For we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And as we gather around this table this morning, I just believe that we are standing on holy ground. We are coming in remembrance of what Jesus did for us in dying on the cross, where His body was broken and His life was given for us. And it's symbolized in that bread and in that cup. But I think God is present this morning. And I think this is holy ground because He is here. And I think He wants to speak to us this morning. And I invite you just to step out. You don't have to do this. This is optional. But as we come to take communion this morning, as a way of acknowledging that we are on holy ground, as a way of acknowledging that we believe God will speak to us and call us by name, as a way of acknowledging that here we are and willing to be used, I invite us, as we're going to sing in a moment, then gather around the table. I invite you, if you want to, just take off your shoes. Acknowledge that we're on holy ground because God is here. And take communion this morning, being reminded of what God has done for us, but being reminded that God is calling us onto this adventure with Him. An adventure we don't know exactly where it'll go. An adventure we have all kinds of excuses about because we know we are not the right person in our own strength. But believing this morning that God is here that his power is present. And that as he speaks and as he calls, he will give us the strength to respond. This morning, God reminds us of how he met Moses. But it's not a story for then, it's a story for now. It's a story that he wants to meet us. Not in burning bushes, maybe, but maybe around a table. Maybe around a less than eloquent Baptist preacher who calls you to remember, calls you to listen, calls you to step out in faith, calls you to obey. This morning, let's come and let's gather around this table. And let's be reminded of God's presence by these elements of bread and cup. But let's be reminded of his presence because his Spirit is at work in our lives. Father God, this morning we come and we hear the story of Moses and it's suddenly become real because you meet us on holy ground. And in these elements of bread and cup, you meet us. And we come in remembrance, and we come in obedience, and we come in trust. Father God, meet us this morning around this table, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.